And Aaron, thy brother, shall be thy prophet. Thou shalt speak all that I command thee, and Aaron, thy brother, shall speak unto Pharaoh, that he send the children of Israel out of his land. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. But Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that I may lay my hand upon Egypt, and bring forth mine armies, my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgments. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch forth mine hand upon Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them. And Moses and Aaron did as the Lord commanded them, so did they. Verse number 7, and Moses was 80 years old, and Aaron was 83 years old, when they spake unto Pharaoh. And the Lord spake unto Moses and to Aaron, saying, when Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, show a miracle for you, then thou shalt say unto Aaron, take thy rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent. And Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh, and they did so as the Lord had commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers, now the magicians of Egypt. They also did in like manner with their enchantments. For they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. And he hardened Pharaoh's heart, that he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. Now in day number 1, we talked about God's power reveals that he is alone, Yahweh. And question number 1 asked was, what was wrong with Pharaoh's heart? Vonda, it was hard. Now what does it mean to have a hard heart? Rebellious heart. Yeah, but our text said here that God hardened his heart. Huh? He already had a hardened heart. Sounds like you guys are siding with Israel. Oh, yeah. Notice, if you would, here that God made mention here in this area here. It says in verse 3, I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and wonders upon Egypt. And he says that Pharaoh will not hearken unto him. But look at verse 5, and the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. Now that's a key phrase right there. The Egyptians, not only Pharaoh, but the Egyptians as a whole will know that I'm the Lord. Remember when Moses first came to him, Pharaoh's statement to him was, who is the Lord that I should obey him? That already showed the heart, okay? All God was doing is taking what was hard and just making it more obstinate and more rebellious. That's the direction you're going. That's the direction I'll send you. Folks, God still does that today, by the way. You know that, right? When a person hardens their heart towards the things of God, God will just allow them to continue to deteriorate more and more and more in that direction. So he had a hard heart. The question, too, is why was God going to harden Pharaoh's heart? Why was he going to do that? Nice and loud, I heard something from over on this side. Yeah, he was going to show and demonstrate his power, not just to Egypt, which Egypt would experience, but also Israel, but also the world. Remember, this is the whole area that took place that when they got into the promised land, we heard all of these things that you did that happened to Egypt. Y'all remember that? When they got there and they went around the walls of Jericho, the people were afraid because they heard about all of this stuff that we're reading about. But I want you to understand something. This is 40 years, because they wandered, remember, in the wilderness 40 years. So it was 40 years ago that this happened when they got to Jericho, and the people, it was still fresh on their minds. The whole world did know what God had done. And so God's judgments last a lot longer than the actual event itself. It carries like throwing the rock into the water and it just continues to ripple out and people find out about it. Correct. Yeah, all of the judgments will be against, because they were polytheistic. They believed in many gods, and that they were going to judge each one of their gods that they had. Nile was a god. And so, which fits in perfectly with what God did, folks. Moses, you're going to be like a god to them. That's how they viewed everything. They viewed Pharaoh as a god. So we're going to play their game, but on my terms, okay? That's exactly what happens. How did Moses and Aaron prove they were God's messengers? Who wants to take that one up? How did they prove they were God's messengers? Helen.
They threw their staff down and it became a serpent.
Okay, they threw that rod down and it became a serpent. Yep. And, Correct. And,
Their magicians were able to do the same thing, but
I want you to answer it. Now, Egypt is representing the world system. Pharaoh is representing Satan, if you would. So the acts of his mystics, if you would, his preachers, they were going to bring a false message as well. They threw theirs down, did the same thing. But so that shows us that Satan, folks, even today, can mimic or do things that appear to be what God has the capability to do, but there's always limits on theirs.
Counterfeit.
Huh? Counterfeit, correct. So very, very clearly, and that still happens today. The Bible actually warns us in the New Testament about another Jesus, another, gospel. And in the last days, Satan will be able to call down fire from heaven, and people under the Antichrist, and people will believe, oh, this must be God, So we see that he's a mimicker. I will be like, he says. And question number four says, why did God want to show Israel his great power? Why did God want to show Israel his great power? Somebody knew. Susie. Correct. Two things. Trust him and serve him. Folks, you will not, and I want you to understand the order of that. You will not serve God if you do not trust God. Because God will lead you where he wants you to go to serve him. And some of those times, places aren't always what we would think, okay? What were in day one, just out of curiosity, this is not in your questions, but it said spend some time praising God for the great power to defeat. What are some things that we can praise God for? Just name one for me, somebody, real loud. Don.
Salvation.
His power is seen in salvation. What else? Huh? Who said that? His love, yes. Is there power in love? Yeah. Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. That's going to be through the love of God. What else? Huh?
Creation.
His creation power. Huh? His grace. What else? Debbie. Yes. What else? What was our main word up here? His mercy. The power of God's mercy. That he, listen, it says that his mercy does what? What does his mercy do? It doesn't what? Give us what we deserve. That means he's holding back what we deserve. So those are some of the things, and that's just a few of them. Day number two, unless anybody has something on day one so far, he reveals that he alone is Yahweh, Jehovah. What else? Day two, irritating plagues showed God's power. Now, in this area, we're in verses 14 to 8 through 19, which basically covers the first three plagues. It gets into the area of the water is turned to blood, and the frogs, and we'll come back and talk about that, and then the lice or the gnats, however you want to see it. But look what it says here in question one. What did Moses tell Pharaoh to do? Everybody say it at the same time. Ready? All right. Yeah, you did pretty good. Let's try one more time. You ready?
Let
did really good again. Let's do it again. Let my people go. God wanted his people living and enjoying liberty, freedom. There's a verse that Paul uses, I think it's in Galatians, that speaks about liberty. Anybody have any idea what it says? Something about liberty. Anybody know? Come on, somebody help me out. I'm asking because I really don't remember it. Am I going to have to Google this thing up here?
Only use not the liberty and occasion of flesh.
Okay, there's that one.
That's one.
That's one. That's not the one I'm looking for. Let me see here if I can find one real quick. Talked about the liberty we have in Christ, that we are to stand fast. Well, I guess it's not Galatians. It was Paul. It was 2 Corinthians. It says, "Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." Only reason why I'm bringing that up, that's what God wants for his people, liberty. Liberty in Christ. It's interesting, when we lived in New Hampshire, the newspaper up there used that Bible verse as their theme. It was the something union paper, and then they had that verse in first, and they had 1 Corinthians and all that type right on the headline part. It was interesting because the state motto is live free or die. That's a great motto, by the way. If you live up there for a while, you might want to alter it a little bit, because I always used to say it was said not just live free or die. I thought it always said live, freeze, and die, and because it gets really cold up there. But liberty, he wants to set them at liberty. Let my people go. Now, question two, where did the first three plagues occur? Where did the first three plagues occur? Helen. On the earth, okay? So we're going to be building off of that as we get into the next couple of days. And on the earth being, what was the first one, by the way? Who can tell me? Blood. Second one, anybody besides Helen? Okay, good. And what was the third one? Lice, okay? So we're going to have blood first, no water to drink. Second is going to be frogs. Frogs are getting up out of that water. They don't want to be there either, okay? And I want you to notice when we get into these pictures, if you didn't notice them on your handout, these pictures, the frogs, it wasn't that bad of a plague. I mean, if you look on these pictures, oh, this is the lice one. I think the frog one's coming up. I'll get to that one. But if you look at the frog one comes up, look at the smiles on the frogs' faces. These are happy frogs. And so it couldn't have been that bad, right? Question number three, how did the first three plagues affect people? How did they affect people? Real loud, Bob. Annoying, yep, what else? Yeah, they were causing bodily harm and stuff. I mean, no water, right? Anybody ever drink blood before? Hopefully not. Unless you had a bloody nose and you swallowed it and it went down your throat and you could taste it. You ever done that? Okay, I won't go there, all right? See, you guys couldn't even handle that, let alone a plague, all right? In the end, could the magicians match God's power? No. Why?
Because their source is illusion.
There you go. Okay, their source is a loser, right? Yeah, that one, and we'll get into some of those things here. Because it's interesting. Go ahead. Correct. No, these are all good. These are all good. By the way, I want you to, I'm still popping up here, aren't I? I guess maybe because my grandson calls me Papa. So, sorry, these things come to my mind, I can't stop them. I just come out and then it enters my mouth and comes out. So we have the water turned to blood. Who wants to comment on that plague there? I mean, it wasn't just the Nile River, was it? Everything. I mean, where else was water? Containers that were filled with water turned to blood. What else? Yeah. Yep. If they dug in the ground to try to dig for water, it came up blood if there was water.
And stinky fish.
The fish would stink. I mean, imagine this. I don't even like the smell of fresh fish.
I don't either.
But imagine fish that are dead, and we're in a desert climate, right?
Yep.
And you got the stench of the fish, you got, and they're probably up there floating. So it's all contaminated, big time. And then we had, after they did the frogs. The frogs came up out of the water. Tell me about that. How would that be a hindrance? I mean, they infiltrated your homes. We're talking about millions and millions and millions of frogs coming out.
So everybody got warts, right?
That might have been the boils. what'd you say, Brian? The noises. Man, we got little dinky tree frogs in all of our trees, and those things are loud. But imagine these things are probably not tree frogs. They're probably big frogs. Maybe that's when they found out frog legs were pretty good. I don't know, you know. Folks, I don't think we can even comprehend the amount of frogs that you could not even step without walking on them and stepping on them and probably crushing them, and that they're in your house. Imagine your house, your cabinets, your pots and your pans. Frogs are everywhere. When I worked out at the chemical factory, we had a railroad tracks that ran right by where they'd pick up a lot of the different products, sulfuric gases, the refrigerant gases, all these things. And every once in a while during the summer, you would have an invasion. I don't know where they came from, but they're right by the railroad track. You'd have the invasion of frogs that would come in. It wasn't anything like this, but it was just amazing to see where are all these guys coming from, you know? And so at lunchtime, the right thing to do, you'd go out and catch a couple of them. And we did refrigerant, so you take a frog and you hold him, you know, and you had gloves on, you take your refrigerant bottle and open it up, and it would instantly freeze him rock hard. And then you'd put him in a box and send it down the line where there was a girl working, you know. She'd be talking with another girl and put her hand in there to grab something, and there would be the frog there. And she would scream, and I didn't do that. I witnessed that.
And says that even in their needing frogs, but here they are trying to make bread, and they got frogs.
Oh. Notice, if you would, when you guys had made mention back with the rods being thrown down, turned to serpent, they threw their rods down, turned to serpents. What happened to their rods? Got eaten up by one. Even in an imitation, or what did you call it, Don? When you're acting like someone else. What was the word that you used? Counterfeit. When you're a counterfeit, even when the wicked one does counterfeiting, they might be able to start something, but they can never stop it. God stops everything that they were doing. Anything that they would start to do, God could put a stop to it. On the other hand, they could not stop this unless they asked. They had to ask God, Moses, to ask God to bring it to an end, or else it would have continued. As a matter of fact, on the frogs, when he were dealing with the frogs, remember, did he ask Moses to bring it to an end? When? Tomorrow. He extended it. I mean, it's like I would have said, get them out of here now. Thus, that led to somebody writing a song. Y'all know what that song is? It was entitled, One More Night with the Frogs. Pharaoh did not have to do that, but he did it. And God gave it to him. And then there was lice. The third one was lice, when Moses smote or threw the dust up into the air and smote it or whatever, and it turned to lice. Now, there's questions on what this is, lice or gnats. You're choosing. What's the difference between lice and gnats? One can bite, the other can't. Lice are going to get into your hair, get into that area. Gnats, your fruits. Y'all ever had fruit out on the counter and find gnats? Where did they come from? You know, were they actually already on your fruit as egg form that you were about ready to partake of? Probably true, believe it or not. We come up with some of the good stuff after lunch, don't we? And so we got light, not gnats, and gnats can, you know, ooh, I got one up my nose. You ever had that happen? Or in your eye? Or, I mean, again, what are we talking about? What's the amount of them? Tons and tons of these things with the frogs and all of that stuff. Correct. Correct. This is all, as we have up there, the irritating plagues. God can just irritate us, and it's a plague. And by the way, did you notice that he called this at the very beginning his army? God called this his army at the beginning to bring against the Egyptians. It wasn't horses, it wasn't chariots, it was little things like that that could shut mankind down, that simple. Day number three, we went on, and we got into the area of destructive plagues, show God's power. So we get into a whole different other level, which covered chapter 8 through chapter 9. And it asks the questions, where did the second set of the three plagues happen? Who can remember this one? The first set of three was on the earth. Where did the second one happen? To those that walk upon the earth, that would be you and I. So though we are hindered by the earth itself, the blood is affecting us, the frogs are affecting us, lice and gnats are affecting us, the next ones are going to be upon us, not just on the earth affecting us. And it asks the question, how did these plagues affect the people compared to the last ones? These ones brought what? Physical harm. Now the physical harm begins to kick in here. And notice, if you would, how did these plagues show God's choice of Israel? Because right now we're getting flies, cattle murine, and boils. How did this show that God had chosen Israel over Egypt? They were not touched or affected by it. Does that mean, I'm just asking you this question, does that mean they were affected by the water turned to blood? Does that mean that they were affected by the other two, three plagues that preceded it? You don't think they were affected by it? You disagree? Well, remember, they're in Goshen. They're in the best part of the land, remember. They are dependent upon their water coming from guess where? The Nile River. Anybody else have a thought? Who thinks they were affected by it? And we might not know until then. How many of you think they were affected by it? One? In some measure. Okay, you're compromising here with me. Say that again, Bob. Well, we're... So he's making it very clear. As we get to this point, I'm making sure that it's clear. So there was like, imagine that if you would. Because there had to be a border line of Goshen, right? So here's the border of Goshen right here. This side's Goshen. That right there is not. That means the flies are all right here. And you can sit there and watch them, but they can't come over. Nice and loud. I'm not. Go ahead, Don. I can see something. Oh. Anybody else have a thought? What they think? Paul? Glenn? See?
Well, if you look at the whole scope of what God's doing, He's bringing pressure on Pharaoh to let His people go. Why would He use what He's using? Can God keep the flies off them? Yes, He can. Can He give them fresh water to drink in lieu of the bloody water that the Egyptians had to put up with? Yes, He can. And all this would be. Did the new rain affect their cattle? No, it did not. I just don't see it.
I just know that it's really clear point. That's all I'm going to say. There's a very clear point here on day three that God makes it clear that He's dividing and separating to where there's a definite difference. That's all I'm going to say. So that alludes to that there might have not have been that prior before. I could be wrong on that interpretation. Debbie, you have something. I mean, the reason where I'm at, I understand what Don's saying, absolutely. But on the other side, I just look at Scripture where God didn't make a difference for Job. Job had to go through the fire big time, you know, and he was a righteous man. So I'm not saying that God would not make us, God allows us to go through trials and tribulations to bring us out better on the other side. So I'm just wanting to make sure that we understand that God, in the text, under inspiration, writes that there was a division on that day, that there was a separation made clearly, so that from this point on, they were not going to see the darkness. They weren't going to see anything was going to, whatever's happening on that border is not happening on this one. It's very clear there. Okay. By the way, need to understand that when God removed these first three plagues because He was asked to stop them, we don't think far enough ahead. Did He also, as the river Nile was flowing, did it finally flow out and purge itself of all the blood so they would have water again? That had to have happened, correct? Correct? Because if God was going to answer their prayer to take away that plague, the blood had to go on downstream and it became useful again. And even though He would kill off the frogs, they still had to clean up the mess, by the way. Okay? There was a big mess that was taking place. Just things to think on, not to argue about, just to think on. What day are we on? Three. So we see on day three that the plagues that were annoying now are beginning to bring harm and concern here. Look at day... I got to look at the time here. We're running out of time. Question four says, how were the magicians humiliated even more? We have hail, locusts, and darkness coming. How were they humiliated even more? Yeah, it says after the first three, they gave up. After the second three, they couldn't even come into the court. Huh? Yeah, God just knocked them out of the picture, did He not? Correct. Yeah, they made clear, they made a declaration that this is the hand of God, the finger of God here. They acknowledged, they had enough common sense to come to that conclusion finally. Remember, at the very beginning, they were able to do what Moses could do. So they thought, He hasn't proven anything. But God says, okay, I'll prove myself to you here once for all. And then they made that declaration. We got to keep moving because of time. Terrifying plagues here showed God's power. Now, what happens in day four here? What's the first plague that came in? Okay. The question it has here is, where did the last set of plagues occur? In the sky. Now watch. You have on the earth to humans on the earth and now in the sky above the earth. And what was the first one? Hail. Yeah, it's hail and fire, or what would probably be lightning bolts coming down. How did these three plagues affect the people? Did people die during the hailstorm? Yes. Did some of the Egyptians live during the hailstorm? How did they survive when others did not? They stayed in. So I want you to see that everybody in the nation is hearing exactly what's taking place in these conversations. And many made the decision, I'm going to get my cattle, I'm going to get my sheep, I'm going to get my goats, whatever it is. I'm going to get them into shelter. I'm bringing in all of our servants and we're getting out of this. We've seen enough that God has proven himself. That's sufficient for us. Was that a wise choice by these Egyptians? By the way, it might not have all been Egyptians, because remember, they had already made Israel slaves. They might have had slaves from other nations as well. Okay? And by the way, just remember, we're not even there yet. When God finally allows Israel to go out, correct, ultimately, it says that Israel went out, but it also named somebody else. It says that there was also a mixed multitude who went out with Israel. It may be, and I don't know, it may be this group that had enough common sense to save themselves, their servants, and their sheep, to say, we're going with these guys. This is where the safe area is. So they went out. So influence. And what would the locusts be like? Have plagued. Our country's been plagued and had locusts hit. Grasshoppers usually is what we look at them as. Can they bring devastation? Huh? Yeah. And by the way, what happened? What did the hail do to a crop? Knocks the crop down, destroys the crop, but you hope that even though it's not taken up by the root, it will still come up and produce something. So God sends the locusts. And when they come in, the Bible says they have no king to lead them. They just come in as an army, and there's none that lead them. They just come in, and they swarm, and they just, and they leave everything barren. We've been hit by these plagues ourselves. I'm sure most countries of the world have been under a plague of locusts before. But the scriptures make it clear that nothing like this one, nothing like that one. It's barren. Everything you're looking out over, this beautiful palatial place, just devastated. It'd be like going down to Kerrville and seeing the damage done. And then we have the final plague that comes in. And it was what? Darkness. How would that feel? We see it every night. We see darkness every night, right? This was the darkness that the Bible describes that a man could feel. Anybody ever been in caverns, underground caverns, and they turn the lights off and you can go like this and you cannot see your hand? Annalise took the kids to some caverns when Althea was up there, and they were very, very dark. And she took a picture. She told Ellie to turn around because there was three adults with three children. They all had their own. Althea had Ellie. And she says, Ellie, turn around. I'll take a picture of you in the dark. And she took a picture of her. And when she looked, Ellie was crying. She was crying. And when they finally took, she asked, sat knelt down. She goes, Ellie, what's the matter? Is it because of the darkness? She goes, no. They told us at the very beginning to be careful where you're walking because you can fall off 15 feet, you know. And so she was afraid that the whole time she was walking that she was going to fall off. And then Althea says, oh, that was when we first started way back there. There's nothing else from that point. So they walk about 2 minutes farther. She goes, let me take another picture of her. She took a picture of her, and she's happy and smiling because she knew that that what she couldn't see that she was fearful of wasn't there any longer, you know. And folks, darkness can be a scary thing. I must speak from experience of being in New Hampshire up in the mountains where there are no street lights and city lights. It gets dark. And we have so much light that we don't even realize going on around us at nighttime that it's really not dark at all. But here, they couldn't even move. You'd have to feel your way and touch. It'd be a fearful thing for 3 days and three nights, huh? Correct. The sun god. Correct. Correct. Folks, understand it's Ra, as he said, the sun god, and then the Nile was another one of their gods. The two of the main gods, ultimately, they even worship frogs. You think that's weird? But Israel will later worship a calf, right? So don't be too hard on them. Day five, and we're done. Jesus demonstrated his power over demon forces on the cross. The Bible says that when Christ was on the cross in the book of Colossians, that he triumphed over them, the enemy, openly. Many Bible scholars believe that in Colossians 3, when it's talking about Christ triumphing over on the cross, was when it was completely darkness. Remember when everything was smitten? Christ was on the cross. It was complete darkness. That there was the taunting of the wicked one and his demons because they are princes, the power of darkness, outer darkness and all that. They were taunting him and railing on him. And it says that he took the allegations. What's the word that they use in this Bible? He took away our thing and having it nailed to the cross. And whatever the accusations he had against us, Jesus snatched it and put it behind him, nailing it to the cross where he paid for our sins. And it was in that hour of darkness that Christ triumphed over them, the Bible says, openly, openly. Calvary was not a defeat. It was a triumph. And so next week we will get into the lesson here on the last and final plague that God ordains, the Passover. And it'll be a good study this week. So it's all focused right on that one there. So let me encourage you to take the time to have that study, go through it, and it'll be a good study for you as we look it up next week. Anybody have any closing thoughts here? Correct. Correct. Yeah, I mean, we're going to see his power again. We'll be witnesses of that. Bob. All right. I'll get back with you on it. Well, let's have a great week this week. Amen. Pray for each other through the week. Continue to pray for Steve. And John's brother, and John will have a good time of being an encouragement to him up there. Let's stand, and we'll be dismissed in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come before thee thanking you for the great power we have, and that you have transferred that power, that authority. You said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye. We're to take that power and present the gospel, the good news, which is able to save men from their sins. And what great power and authority there is in the salvation of delivering a man who's in darkness, outer darkness one day, into the kingdom of your dear son, into a child of light. So just pray you'd help us to have opportunities this week to share the good news. Help us to take some gospel tracts with us, dear Father, to have as a tool to hand out and lead with people. And just pray you'd bless, dear Father, the week ahead in Jesus' name. Amen.